Are you ready for the Word tonight? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, Jesus says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Jesus said, the end is coming. I see people all the time now, you know, proclaiming, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." You know, that's somewhat the attitude of a selfish person. I say, manifest now, Lord Jesus, and put things right, but don't come yet. There's still people that I know and love I want to see get in the kingdom. Amen. I'm glad you didn't come when I was still out there running crazy. I want you to get every last person saved you can. But he says, before this end takes place, I believe before the rapture takes place, the gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached in all the earth. Now, we've been talking about for some time contrasting the preaching of the cross with the preaching of the kingdom. And Jesus did not come to preach the cross. Study it. You will find virtually no references where he says he came to preach the cross. He would speak about it a few times throughout the Gospels. But he talked about the kingdom over and over and over again. And we as a church have confused the preaching of the cross with the preaching of the kingdom. The preaching of the cross says whoever will can come to the cross and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and be saved and someday go to heaven. How many know that's the starting point? How many know that's the most important point? Praise God for the cross. I'm in no way wanting to demean the value of the cross. But Jesus, if you study His teachings, never really taught a whole lot about just coming to the cross. He taught about how the kingdom of God functions. The kingdom of God is if a man should sow seed into the ground. Amen? The kingdom of God operates by speaking words of faith, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. These are the keys of the kingdom. He came to teach us how you can function in the spiritual principles that operate or correlate with the laws of God to let you function in supernatural power. The kingdom of God is about learning how not to live. Once you come to the cross, we talked about this Sunday morning. The scripture says that when Jesus was crucified, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Scripture telling us, signifying that the way into God's presence was now made available. That veil had separated man and God for, you know, over 1,000 years, or really not over 1,000, but close to 1,000 years. That veil had separated man and God. And man had been separated from God, actually, for 4,000 years, ever since the fall of man. Man had no free access to God. But when Jesus was crucified, the cross cut of an opening in the veil, saying now the men who come to the cross have access to go into the presence of God freely in fellowship with Him. Do you see this? But here's the mindset of most Christians. And again, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm trying to unveil the opportunity we have. Most Christians come to the cross and they stand before the veil and they say, "I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I receive His blood to forgive me my sins and His resurrection to cause me to be born again." And God says, "Great, now you have access through the veil to come into my presence." And they say, "The veil's been rent in twain. I've got access." And they stand there and talk about the open veil for the rest of their life. Do you follow me on that? They talk about, you know, what happened when they were born again. They talk about what God made available when they were born again, but they never move through that veil to live in the new realm. See, once you go through the veil, it signifies a crossing over from living out of the world into living in the kingdom. Do you follow me on that? We have the opportunity now to live in the kingdom of God. What do you mean? You mean we can just now be translated to heaven? No, God's already come to earth on our behalf. God has already brought heaven to earth and says you can function in the kingdom now. Again, Pastor Jack, what do you mean function in the kingdom? You already have been made a joint heir with Jesus. You've been made a son of adoption. And you already now have access to virtually all, or if not most, of the blessings of heaven. Now, there's some of them you don't have access to. You don't have access to that place where there was no devil anymore. Amen? You're still going to deal with Mr. Pointy Tail. You're still going to have some battles. But you have all the power of heaven available to you to allow you to overcome. Do you follow me? So Jesus, if you study His teachings, He came to teach us how to activate the keys of the kingdom of heaven, how to function in the power of God to live in an overcoming fashion now. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, one of the most valuable verses in Scripture, says, "For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Now listen, you're not going to need to overcome the world when you get to heaven. You'll be elevated above the world. Where you need to use your faith to overcome the world now is here living on the earth, but having access to the kingdom of God. Faith lets you grab a hold of and bring into your life all the blessing and provision of heaven today. See, in the world system, in the world, there's no right to divine healing and divine health. In the world system, there's just the curse run amok. Over here is sickness and disease and death. Everything over here is falling apart. But once you go through the veil, once you recognize I've got access to higher laws than that govern the world, you can step through the veil and start using the power of seed, the power of your words, the principles of faith, and now you can say, and by the stripes of Jesus, I received divine healing and divine health. So what happens? You know there's no sickness in heaven, right? You have rights now, based on what Jesus purchased at the cross, to live above and without sickness today. But you've got to willingly go through the veil and activate it. You cannot still live with a world mentality, living out of your own intellect, your own strength, out of your own planning, out of your own trying to be nice, and think you're going to access spiritual power. There are nice Christians die every day of debilitating diseases. Amen. There are zero Christians that have fully accessed the powers of God in the kingdom that died debilitating diseases. Zero. If sickness is on them, it's because they have not fully accessed something that's been made available. Because there's not a single sickness, a single disease, a single infirmity, a single injury that the cross and the stripes of Jesus did not provide for you to recover from. Well, I think everybody's got to die of some kind of disease. No, they don't. And if they do, it's because there's something we didn't get a hold of. God's already made available all the promises of the kingdom to us. Are you following me on this? So Jesus, when He said the end's coming after this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the earth, is talking about once people get the revelation, you don't have to live bound by the world anymore. You can live in this new realm. So I'm not waiting to die, you know, from this natural body to access God's blessings. I can be blessed today. Faith is a law. And it'll work the same here as it does in heaven. You know we'll be using faith in heaven, right? Once you get to heaven, you'll be using your faith full time. It just won't be to recover from sickness. You'll have the ability. Lord, take me to Tennessee right now. I use my faith. Boom, there you are in God's country. The point is, that veil being opened was for a purpose. And God's intention is we go through it. And how do you go through it? It's not where you just say, well, I just step through the veil right now. I'm on the other side. The way you go through the veil is you recognize the Word says that veil was Jesus' flesh. Right? And we know He was the Word made flesh. This is Jesus in print form. The way you go through the veil is you say, God, open my eyes to the possibilities in the supernatural. Open my eyes to the ability for the provision of the kingdom. And you read the Word and you start getting this revelation. And because you get this revelation, you are stepping into what God's made available. And you step out of the natural realm of thinking. You step in the realm of supernatural expectation. You're stepping through the veil. And the more you get in the Word and the more Word gets in you, the more you advance beyond just the opening point. You go deeper into the kingdom and function in more of the power. This Word is the portal. See, before the cross, this Word stood up. I mean, we had the entire Old Testament. Did you know there's nothing in the New Testament that's not confirmed or validated or prophetically declared in the Old? It was already made available to us, but nobody could understand it. Paul said it's all written in mystery form. But when the blood from Jesus hit the ground and the curse was lifted off the earth, the ability to comprehend this Word was given to man as that veil was rent in two. And God says, now this Word's been opened up to you. And this acts as the ability to translate our lives from living in the natural realm into the supernatural realm. I hope I didn't go too far for you all of a sudden. This Word becomes the portal to living in the kingdom. No Word, no kingdom advancement. The more words you get, I'm not talking about you memorize the Bible, I'm talking about this Word's become real to you, that it's God's promise to you, and you comprehend what the Spirit of God's unveiling to you about the deep mysteries of the Word, and it lets you now function over in that realm that the Word has described. See, there's a prophetic declaration that God gave Habakkuk that the earth would be filled with the glory. Right? The knowledge of the glory. God declared it already. It's in the Word. And as we spend time meditating on the glory and what it takes to go into the glory, it lets us advance through that opening God made in the veil into living in realms of the kingdom prior generations have never even comprehended as being possible. This church functions at a level of healing past church generations never thought was possible. I'm talking about, you know, we don't have anybody in the hospital. Nobody's dying. Somebody may visit the hospital now and then. People get healed all the time in here. They walk in supernatural strength and healing, right? We've never had anybody go home early. Amen. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm trying to tell you what the Word does, what the kingdom does. And so, what we experienced in this church 20, 30, 40 years ago, did not exist. In fact, hasn't probably existed since the time of the early church, if it existed then. And we're moving deeper and deeper into divine health, divine financial blessing, and divine anointing of agape love poured out that's going to take us to the glory. And there's God's raising up a church. I'm talking about a Pentecostal, Pentecost outpouring focused church that is going to function in the presence of God full time. And past church generations never comprehended what we're moving into. In fact, most Christians today don't comprehend what I'm talking about tonight. And you're only comprehending it because the Spirit of God has opened your eyes up to see it. But this is what's been described since the beginning. As God said, He's raising up a people that would be His bride, that would be His people of relationship, that would dwell in His presence and His blessing. Here's the thing. Pat and I got married. She has access to everything I possess. Amen? And she repositions throughout the house all the time. and I have possession of everything she possesses except her best chocolate. Is that because she's my bride, everything I have is hers? And do you think God wants us to wait to have to leave this body before we start receiving what He says belongs to us as His bride? Amen. Not to mention we're still an heir of God, right? God wants us to learn how to receive of it now. And so we don't just see supernatural healings. We don't just see money come to us, you know, supernaturally. We don't just see relationships put together supernaturally. We see God do miracles all the time in all types of areas. I tell you what, I couldn't tell you how many times this one works in my life. God, I cannot find that bolt. I cannot find that tool. I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray because you said, your word says, there's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. I claim that promise right now. Where is that fastener, that tool or whatever? And I'll stop and all of a sudden I'll see it. There it is. Happened today. Had a part of my motorcycle. I did not know where the plug went. I just prayed. And I let it go. And later all of a sudden I saw it. It goes right there. Went looking, sure enough, there's where the plug went. And so, and bolts that I can't twist. It's almost a law of the cursed world that when you're taking something apart, the last fastener you always try to take loose will strip. The head will strip, or you can't get it to get loose, or it'll bust off. It's something. It's like the last fastener. I don't want to speak this out, but it's of the cursed world. I'm free from the curse, right? Any guys know what I'm talking about? It's always the last bolt. And how many times have I hit that bolt, I can't get it loose, and I'll say, God, help me to get this loose, and go try it. It'll come free. What am I? I'm accessing the power of the kingdom. God's got angels right there to help you with it. An angel just take two little fingers, twist that thing loose for you. They've got so much strength just to help you out. And so we have a right to live in this new realm. And God's calling His church to get out of just stopping at the veil, get out of just stopping at the cross, and say, now come and learn to live in the kingdom. Amen. We've had people in the past know a little bit about kingdom experience. They've learned that if you worship God or you praise God, His presence will show up and you can have peace. So we would sing, you know, when peace like a river attends to my soul, it is well, you know. And sorrows like sea billows roll. And we learn how to praise God and see peace come in. How many of us part of accessing the kingdom? You know what we were doing? We were standing in front of that opening in the veil. Get right in front of it and say, now God, I worship you. I'm still out here in the world. I'm still out here before the veil outside. But I worship right now. And we let enough of the peace come through that opening in the veil to hit our life. And go right back and living in the world with a little bit of peace. God's got a place where you can go through the veil and you always have peace. You live in the peace of God. Now how many know we tend to all do some in and outs? We get busy and we get out too often and we realize, I got to get back in. But we have a right to live in that place of manifested peace and love of God. Amen. But you got to realize you must go through. And you don't go through any deeper than your relationship with the Word of God. Amen. Turn with me. Acts chapter 14. We may have went here last time, but let's go here again. Acts chapter 14. Yes, we went here last. We'll cover it again very quickly. Verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many and returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, That would mean to go through the rent and the veil. Faith functions in the new realm. Do you follow me? This is talking about more than just continuing in your denomination. This is talking about continuing in faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. I'm telling you what, every devil in hell wants to stop you from going through that right veil. They're happy with you stopping in front of them and say, you can get saved. You can declare Jesus Christ as your Lord, but don't go through the veil. Don't try to enter into that area of using faith. Don't try to go through that place where you operate in the presence of God and you're led by the Spirit all the time. Just stay there living out of your natural intellect and we'll be fine. And the devil says, we'll have a truce as long as you try to go, as long as you don't try to go in. But definitely don't go to that church. Don't go to that church where they're trying to teach you how to go through. Don't go to that church where they're teaching you to pray in tongues for, you know, more than 30 seconds during a worship service. Don't go to that church where they're teaching you to speak the word in confidence and to stand on the word until it manifests. Don't go to that place where they're trying to instruct you how to live an overcoming life. And every devil in hell will try to stand in front of the veil and say, you can't come in. You know, I'm not a fighter. At least in the natural, I was never big enough to be a fighter. And I wanted to protect my dental work. And so I avoided physical confrontation. There was always people trying to start fights, and I learned to be a really good negotiator. And but if somebody backed me into a corner, I wasn't going to whine and cry for mercy. I'm coming out swinging. You follow what I'm talking about? I mean, if I have to fight, I'm going to fight. And if somebody's trying to hold back what belongs to me, we're going to have a tussle. Now listen again. I haven't been in a fight in nearly 40 years, you know, where I had to swing a fist at somebody. And don't intend to be ever again. I don't want to hurt anybody with these guns. And so when I talk about a fight, I'm talking about a confrontation. But when the devil says, you can't, the fight's on. You got to be determined. No devil in hell is going to take you out of your church, out of your walk with God, out of your prayer life, out of moving into the kingdom. You refuse ever to reach a truth with religion and ho-hum and just okay. You got to determine to knock the devils out of the way. As soon as you target going through, these big, ugly devils step in the way and say, who do you think you are that you think you can go in? Amen? And you pull out the word and you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a son of adoption, a joiner with Christ. Amen. I'm a light unto this world. I'm His example, I'm His ambassador. And you quote the word and you don't stop until they part and you go through. Refuse to back down from the challenges. My wife is not a fighter. She is not a fighter. You know, she hates confrontation, conflict. But let somebody tell her she can't. Let me try to tell her she can't. You talk about having a wildcat on your hands. Let me tell her, no, you can't do that. Excuse me? Not in a place of violating divine order, you follow me? But a place where no man nor devil is going to stop me from going through and having what's mine. And here, Paul said, through much tribulation, you'll enter in. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a battle where the devil says you're in the wrong church. The devil's going to say nobody likes you. The devil's going to say, you know, they're after your money or they're trying to take advantage of you. Or they've missed it. And then he's going to say, and you can go to that hyper-grace church anyway. And you got to say, I refuse to be held back. from the highest, from the best. I had a revelation today, just kind of a side note. I'll throw it out. Back when I was, before I was saved, and I'd always been a drinker, but I'd always said, I'm not doing drugs. Now, I'm back from the hippie, end of the hippie days, really. And it wasn't like drugs were everywhere like they are today. Back then, drugs were only a handful of people would do drugs, for the most part. And the high school I went to, of the entire graduating class at my graduation, I would be surprised if more than four or five people had ever smoked a joint. And that's how drug free. But everybody drank. Half of us made our own wine. And I remember going to college and their drugs were everywhere because they were educated. And they would offer me drugs, and of course, I'm a drinker, so I'm with partiers all the time, and they'd offer me drugs, and I ain't doing it, cause brain damage. So tip up the Jack Daniels or whatever, you know. And I remember the first night. I'd had a disappointing week and went out with the guys, and they said, hey, you want to light one up? You want to smoke one with us? Or and I go, yeah, hand it to me. Just an anger moment, you know. And I did marijuana the first time, 20 years old. 20, you're an old man by then. 20 years old, first time I'd ever done it. I'd probably been on it for months just smelling everybody else's, but first time I'd opened. Because I wasn't judging them, I just, you know, wasn't going to do it myself. And I smoked marijuana. I remember the first night I got stoned. And within 1 week, I was doing every drug I could get my hand on. I went from wouldn't touch drugs to I did marijuana, and within 1 week I was putting everything in my mouth I could, short of a needle. I wouldn't do a needle. And it started 10 years of recreational drug use. I call it recreational because I was never hooked on heroin or coke or anything. I do coke, but never was strung out. And so marijuana became... Don't tell me marijuana is not an entry-level drug. Because it entered a whole level for me of drug use. I'm kind of on the sidetrack here, so follow me. I'm convinced hypergrace is the marijuana of religion in these end times. Because once you accept the hypergrace message that God can't see your sin anymore, that you're accepted, all the works were finished at the cross, that, you know, that you can drink, drug, party, whatever you want to do, and God can't see it, and you're still going to heaven, it opens the door. Now, anything goes. You mean I can sleep around, still go to heaven, God can't see it? Oh, party time. I believe the enemy is gaining half the church intoxicated on, how can I say it, a hyper-grace-induced religious stupor to keep from entering the kingdom of God in these end times. Because you're not going to enter into the kingdom without going through pressure, without tribulation. And this hyper-grace message now says tribulation represents works. If it's work, then I must be on the wrong track because it should be easy because Jesus finished it all and they never go in. You're not going to pray all night under a hyper-grace influence. You're not going to read the Word, you know, beyond a devotional for the most part when you realize it doesn't matter to God, it's all finished. God's raising up a group of people that are saying, I'm not going to buy into that message because it causes brain damage. And I'm going to go in the way God's led me up to this point. Did you follow that? It's going to take spiritual exercise and application to go into this kingdom. Because it's not going to go unchallenged. The devil is not an idiot. He's stupid, but he's not an idiot. I couldn't get away with him sounding smart. In football, the goal of a football team on offense is to protect the quarterback. Because the quarterback, if protected, if he's any good, can shred the defense. So what an offense does is they find the biggest boys they can. Amen. I mean, they scout, they go out to Nebraska and Kansas and find these farm boys who have been lifting hay all their life and eating corn. And they find these huge old boys and they say, you're going to play offense for our football team. You're going to play the line. And they find these giant guys that they put, you know, the front five, the center, the guards, and the two tackles. They take those five, they make them these huge guys. So when the defense tries to attack, they can just block them off and form a line of protection around the quarterback. You follow me? Well, when we're trying to attack Satan's kingdom and take back by going into God's kingdom, because when you go into His, you're taking back from Satan's, if you can follow that line of reasoning, the devil's going to put his biggest lineman in front of the entryway and say, you're not coming through here. Amen. And you got to determine, you are going through. We got a whole bunch of people don't want to put forth any spiritual effort wanting to go in, so they're tiptoeing around it trying to find another way. Well, you know, if I try to do that, that would take work, and there's got to be another way. I'll just go over here and just tell God I love Him, and I'll pretend I'm in the kingdom, and I'll try to be nice, and we'll just assume I'm in there, when in fact you never went through the obstacle Satan intentionally put in front of you to enter that realm. Amen. And going through is not a factor of how knowledgeable you are. That's probably not the right word. Of whether you were raised in church all your life or not. It's not a factor of whether or not you can quote 100 verses or not. It's a factor of whether or not you'll fight through opposition and hold to what God said in the Word. And refuse to let go of the promises He's made to you. We have a right to enter in and function out of that kingdom. Romans chapter 14. Let's go to verse number 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not demonstrated by what you possess outwardly as much as it's demonstrated by the change that's made within you. God is looking to make internal change in us to demonstrate the kingdom. I believe God plans to give us much wealth in the end times. We're going to get to it where He says you're going to have houses and lands and, you know, much possessions, gold and silver. But the true evidence of somebody that's moved through the veil that's in the kingdom is when they walk with the revelation they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, a genuine revelation. And they live in holiness in alignment or in agreement with that. And they walk in great peace and great joy despite the battles that they're in. Do you follow me? So many people want to demonstrate that they're functioning in the kingdom because of where they go to church, of maybe what they possess or, you know, outward things. But God said that genuine evidence is going to be the inward manifestation or reflection that you're in. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is going to involve you being in the Holy Ghost. It's going to involve you having the manifestation of the anointing on your life via the Holy Ghost. Natural man looks at the outward evidence of circumstances. A spiritual man is looking at what God's doing within. As we've been talking about in 2 Peter chapter 1 about the stairway to agape. God's working in you change so you can move into the blessings of His kingdom, including walking in the love of God. We'll come back to that later. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 20. See, it's amazing. Unless we've really had our eyes open to the kingdom, we don't realize how much Jesus referred to the kingdom. Until you've had your eyes open to it, you don't realize how many times He said kingdom, the kingdom of God is like. We're talking about a few hundred times He said the kingdom of God in Scripture, in His four books. Everywhere He went, He talked about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. They're both synonymous. And then you start reading what Paul wrote and Peter wrote, and they continue to read writing about the kingdom of God. And we always think we read the kingdom of God, we're thinking someday over in heaven. We've received a lie or a misunderstanding of Scripture that the kingdom of heaven only represents when you die. And the whole purpose of the writings of the New Testament were to tell you you can function in that kingdom now. So he says in verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now, when it says not in word, it's not talking about the word of God. It's talking about it's not in natural words. The kingdom of God is not reflected just because you say you're in it. You're not a Christian just because you say you are. Are you following me? We had a person come in the shop today. Pastor Rebecca was here. And she walks in the door saying she's a believer. Amen. Kept repeating she was a believer. And yet, Pastor Rebecca said she had enough company, you know, to fill the church. She didn't describe it quite like that, but that's what she was talking about. It was a transient person looking for a handout, coming and claiming she's a believer. The kingdom of God is not in word. It's in anointing. It's in power. The kingdom of God, once you move in, see, out here in the natural, you may have gone to the cross, you may have gotten saved, and you're out here talking about how you belong to Jesus, and you're talking about, you know, someday in the ever after. But God said, there's a place where if you're really in the kingdom, you're going to be in the anointing, you're going to be in the power of God. I am not content in life if I've not taken the necessary steps to be in the anointing. And I know when I'm in the anointing and when I'm not. Amen? And you know when you're not in the anointing. I want to be in the anointing all times. And I know when maybe I've let my word time or prayer time, you know, not be up to par, and all of a sudden I'm running on fumes, or I feel the old man trying to rise up, and I'm going, this ain't right. This is not what God purchased for me. I've got to separate and get in the Word and get in prayer to get back where I'm supposed to be. Fueled up, filled up, and full of the power of God. Here's another example. When we have service here, I almost always, unless I forget, give opportunity for people to be prayed for. If I don't do it at the end of service, I say, after service, come and see me and I'll pray for you. And the last thing I want to do is for you to have been going through battle after battle all week, fighting devils, worked all the faith you had just to get to church, you're battling through this battle, and you come to me for prayer and I got nothing on me. To me, personally, that is unacceptable. And so, it's not enough for me to say, I'll pray for you, to just be in word. There must be power behind it. And I'm determined to go deeper and deeper into that power. I want the day that no matter what person brings, what illness, what injury, what infirmity, or what missing limb or body part, when they come here for prayer, it's restored. 100% of the time. Because I never see Jesus not able to restore. The closest we see is one time he had to pray for one person twice. Remember that? He prayed for the blind man and he laid hands on him. He said, what do you see? He says, I see men as trees walking. So he prayed for him again. And he saw clearly. I want that power on my life and in this church. And it's available in the kingdom. But we'll just go into it. Are you getting anything out of this tonight? 1 Corinthians 6. See, this should be creating in you a desire to get the revelation of the Word in you to go deeper. Quit wasting your time listening to powerless messages or just messages about the cross. Wasting your time is not the right way to put it. Stop only listening to messages about the cross and start stretching yourself into listening to messages that advance you in the kingdom. I want to listen to ministers that talk about the kingdom. I love Bill Winston, because he preaches almost exclusively on the kingdom of God. And I want to learn how to function in that realm at the highest levels. Chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now here, Jesus says, if you want to inherit the kingdom, you can't be unrighteous. Now we know that when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right? You're made a new creation. And because that, you have rights to access all the inheritance of the kingdom. But what you cannot do is come to the cross and say, I received that sacrifice, declare I'm righteous, and then continue to live after the devil. There'll be a honeymoon period God will give you, but there comes a time God expects you to start making changes. Amen. So he says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's talking about homosexuals and male prostitutes. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Here God says the Spirit of God is going to take you out of that stuff. Again, we come back to this point. You're not going to go through the veil and continue to live in sin. You're not going to take all that sin mentality and sin lifestyle and say, God can't see it, I'm sneaking through the veil. Well, I know I'm living with my boyfriend. I know that I'm sleeping around. I know I'm doing drugs or drinking or whatever, you know, and drunken. And so God can't see it. I'm going through the veil. Nobody tell him. Holy Ghost, don't tell him. Well, you're God too. You don't even know. And you're pulling this whole load of sin with you into the kingdom. It's not working. You're going to get to the door and start butting up against opposition because that isn't going in. Amen. You know why? Because what you're trying to take in is opening so many demonic doors to your life. All kinds of companies coming in to hold you out and hold you in bondage. There's no way you're going into the presence of God. You will not separate the necessity to live a level of holiness with going into the kingdom. Now, I didn't say perfection. I said holiness, which is endeavoring to walk in honor of God. I'm not saying you walk without ever saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing or looking at the wrong thing. I'm talking about you endeavor not to. And you're quick to confess your sins. Amen. Knowing if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But if you think you're sneaking something past God, you're not going in. Amen. The relationship in your marriage, the relationship in my marriage, does not progress beyond our honesty and openness with one another. Do you follow me? I sneak nothing past my wife. And the only thing I know she sneaks past me is the chocolate she hides in the different drawers in the house. We endeavor to have open life before one another, nothing hidden. Because as soon as we start trying to keep secrets, as soon as any marriage starts to keep secrets, you've already got to break down in trust, and you've got to break down in intimacy in the relationship. Well, if you think God can't see what you're doing, and you're trying to slip stuff past Him, He's going like, who is this person? You know, Jesus said there's going to be many come to Him in the day saying, Lord, Lord, you know, let us into the kingdom. Didn't we do many mighty works in Your name? You know, didn't we cast out devils or whatever? And He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. I believe it's that whole group trying to sneak in. He's going, I don't know you. If we had relationship, you would be open and honest with me and you'd quit trying to sneak stuff past me. Let's get real here. Amen. And so you want to have a hot life with God where there's no need to try to keep secrets. There's no need to try to sneak something past Him. And God says, when you do that, welcome to the opportunity for kingdom living. Chapter 15. First Corinthians 15. Let's go to verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Verse 24. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. And the last enemy destroyed is death. Oh, I love that phrase. Amen. So it says here that Jesus is going to deliver to the Father a purged kingdom. Well, it's necessary. If you want to make it into that kingdom, you might want to consider doing some purging on your own. Did you follow me? There's stuff you'll have to deal with. You're not taking the old lifestyle into the new kingdom. It's going to require change. Jesus finished His part of the cross, but He didn't finish your part. He made it possible for you to be made a new creation, but it's still your responsibility to tear down sin out of your life. In fact, with that in mind, turn back to Romans. Let me find the verse I want. There we go. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation for those that walk after the Spirit. After, not perfect again, but after. But if you walk after the flesh, you're going to entertain condemnation. Do you want to know what hyper grace is really about? I know you thought we were done with these references to this, but until this thing is stamped out, we'll be mitching in it, I'm sure. You know what hyper grace is really about? It's about releasing to men that refuse to turn from their wicked ways a doctrine that lets them harden their hearts to the voice of the Holy Spirit to be able to reject condemnation or conviction. See, when you try to live for God and you live a life where you refuse to turn from major sin areas, for example, you know, you get saved, and but you just still have problems with that flesh, so you're sleeping around. And so, you know, you go to church, you hear about holiness, you hear about God, but then Friday night you go and you party and you end up waking up the wrong person again. Come to church Sunday morning and you feel so condemned. So convicted. Are you following me? And you repent and, you know, you say, I'll never do it again. Here you are next weekend, you do it again. You end up. We have a choice. Either quit it to escape the conviction that's going to come, or find a message that lets you harden your heart to the conviction, calling it condemnation of the enemy, and you keep on doing it. And that's the entry-level drug that hyper-grace is to those that refuse to make change. It lets you harden your heart to the convicting voice of the Spirit, saying, that's just the devil trying to condemn me, I reject that. And what you're doing is you're hardening your heart to the voice of the Spirit. And this says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there's no condemnation for those that are walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When you harden your heart to the Spirit, you're not going to be able to hear Him to know which way to walk. And you're going to end up wandering off the plantation, off the farm or whatever. Are you following me? You're going to end up out of bounds. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Praise God. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Here it says, Jesus was sent to condemn sin in the flesh. The word condemned has specific meaning. Condemned doesn't mean something's gone. It means it's targeted for destruction. You may have been through, you know, areas of town or been by buildings that had a fire or something like that had been abandoned, it was falling in, and there'd be the city will put a sign on it that says condemned. In fact, there's one or two in Frankfurt right now that you can go by and there's a condemned sign on the condemned by the city of Frankfurt or whatever. They're going to tear it down. That it's not worth trying to rebuild or save. They're going to tear the building down. But guess what? It's not torn down yet. It's still standing. It only says condemned, meaning that it's going to be destroyed at a future point. And when Jesus condemns sin in the flesh, He says what it means is it's now targeted for destruction in your life. But you've got to destroy it. Once it's tore down, it's not condemned anymore. It's gone. Did you follow me on that? Once it's torn down, it's gone. It's not condemned anymore. And Jesus condemning sin in your flesh says He's hung a sign on your flesh saying, okay, it's now approved to tear this out. You've got the power to tear it out. You have provision to tear it out. Now deal with the flesh. And you got to determine, okay, I'm not doing drugs anymore. Did you know the day I got saved, hadn't been married very long, the day I got saved, I had the ability to cheat on my wife. I didn't. Or if I'm it, never even considered it. Not even once I got saved, God did a work in my mind. It was never even a comprehension. But I had the ability. And I had to reject any thoughts that would cause me to build back what God said was condemned. When I got saved, that was the last drunk I ever pulled. I don't drink anymore. Haven't had a drink in 30 years. well, almost 30 years. Haven't been saved quite 30 years. Haven't had a drink in 29 years. Although I think I've done probably 2 doses of NyQuil in the past 29 years, maybe. That's it. Yet I still have the ability to go out and drink. But I've torn that down and refused to build it back. And some people didn't, hey, drugs were gone, alcohol was gone, running around was gone, the whole mindset was gone. When I got saved and I got saved, it was gone. It was a miracle deliverance. It's not like that for everybody. Amen? Patty? She gets saved, she's still token. Hiding it from me. She wasn't as covenant a person as I was. She was smoking. She's hiding it because she knew I'd go off on her. You gave your life to Jesus. What are you doing? And so it wasn't an instant deliverance for her. But the condemned sign was put on it. And her dry quit preaching to her. Here comes the Holy Ghost and says, you need to tear that down. And right at 29 years ago, she laid down pot. Unless she's deceived me, she's never touched it again. She went from Quaalude Queen to drug free. I'm talking about, I was a drunk, she was a dope, you know, dope doer. And God put condemned signs on those of her life, and we had to tear it out. All that lifestyle, we had to tear it out and refuse to go back to there. And God, when He condemned sin in your flesh, said, now it's your job to work with me to remove this from your life. And don't, as Paul said, don't build it back. He said in Galatians, if we build back those things that we've been delivered from, we make ourselves a transgressor. Right? Don't go back into that lifestyle. First Corinthians 15 again. I'm enjoying this series because I love going deeper into God. As a pastor, there's so many different kinds of messages you have to teach. You got to teach stuff just to get people saved. You got to teach people to know how to do some spiritual warfare. You got to teach people how to use faith, the basics of faith. But my favorite ones where we go talking about the possibilities in the kingdom. About going deep into the love of God, going deep into the power of God, going into the glory of God. Because those are the ones that form vision that cause us to pursue after the things of the kingdom deeper. Did you follow that? You can explain to me later. 1 Corinthians 15, have you got it? And let's go to verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Now here he's talking about the eternal realm, the eternal reign, and changing our bodies over. But he makes a statement here that flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom. You're not going to enter into the kingdom of God in these end times carrying a flesh and blood-minded mentality. You're going to carry an incorruptible revelation of righteousness mentality. You're going to put on a new mindset that I'm not bound anymore by who I used to be. I am now a new person in Christ, and I have access to all these blessings. Now, I know what I'm teaching tonight to somebody. If somebody hears this by message, or maybe you hear it and you're going like, I never heard stuff like this before. This is just absolutely out there. It's crazy. That's why Jesus said to enter the kingdom, you must become like a child. You've got to recognize there's a realm beyond what we have experienced or seen. And it's all laid out in the Word. Amen. It's in there. We just got determined to believe that we can move into this realm. The reason we don't go in freely is because all of our lives up to this point, we were taught about this realm over here, the natural. We were taught about, you know, savings and loans, and taught about, you know, pain and suffering and working for a living. And we were taught about, you know, the laws of physics and how everything functions. And we were never told growing up, there's another realm that once you get saved, you can enter into. We're never told about it. So now that somebody comes and ministers about it, it sounds like, this is crazy, never heard that before. I know, that's why we're not in it. Now you have Pastor Chad's. He was raised in this. He was raised in kingdom preaching. It's ordinary. See, the stuff I'm teaching now, does this sound out of the ordinary to you? Does this sound ludicrous to you? Sound like, you know, kind of normal stuff to you? It sounds normal to him. You know why? He was raised in the teaching. So it's obvious to him what I'm teaching. Yeah, you go through, you live a holy life, you work the words, you go through, you build your faith, you can experience the blessings of the kingdom. He's seen it all of his life. But if somebody's never seen it before, to them it all sounds like heresy. When in fact what it is, it's the unveiling of the mysteries of the Word of God in the end time. And we have an opportunity to move in. To boldly go where no church generation has gone before. On what I thought was going to be a 5-year mission that's turned out to be 25 so far. The battles to go in are great. But the rewards are out of this world, way beyond what you can ask or think, and go into eternity. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep pressing into the kingdom. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word, that you seal it in our hearts, minds, and understanding. You cause us to hunger and thirst for the things of the kingdom and go deeper than ever before. You told me years ago you were going to show me mysteries in the word and the end times that would allow me to pioneer the river of God in this time of the manifestation of your glory. Show us now the next bend in the curve of your river of glory. Show us now the next drop off into the depths of your blessing. We choose to follow the flow the Spirit of God is taking us into. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. If you need special prayer for anything, I'll be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, hug some neck.